Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettelia along with Charlie Long in studio, and it's our Tulane Tuesday segment. So on our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line, we have on with us the head football coach of the Tulane Green Wave, John Summerall. Tulane Tuesday is brought to you by Bayou Black Electric, your electrical connection in the heart of South Louisiana. Learn more at BayouBlackElectric.com. Coach, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Hope all is well. And, man, you got some Chamber of Commerce weather.
Yeah, I appreciate it, man. Yeah, we're getting a little bit of fall now, man. It's starting to feel like October. I looked at the forecast the rest of the week. It's supposed to be in the 70s, looks like. It'd be a good week.
Coach, somebody asked me to ask you this, and so I thought it was a good question. What did you do on your Saturday off? Well, not playing, I should say, because you don't get the day off.
Well, you know what? I took the Saturday off.
What?
So we practiced.
Oh.
Yeah, we did the whole day kind of. Now, I was watching everybody else work. but what we did is on Monday last week, we lifted and did some meetings. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, we practiced. And then Thursday and Friday, I recruited both of those days and went to high school games here locally Thursday night, Friday night. And then Saturday morning, I watched my fifth grade son playing his football game against the sixth graders at his school. So they had their little scrimmage on Saturday morning and then left there, and I watched everybody else play and everybody else work, and might have had a couple of beverages at my house and watched all that happen. But we enjoyed the day, and then Sunday morning after church got back to work, and we've been grinding away trying to get ready for the game this week.
Coach, I always wonder about health because, you know, midway into the season, or basically you're there now, you always sort of banged up, and that bye week gives you an opportunity to kind of heal up a little bit if it's not a major injury. Also, too, about a young man that he plays high school football not far from where I live in Chaz Preston, who's been dealing with a leg injury and looks as though he might be close to coming back, that he can hit the field.
Yeah, Shaz is close. So he ran 19 miles an hour on a GPS deal today, which means he's almost to full speed, really, because he's about a 20 to 21 mile an hour guy at tops, probably. And so he's nearing full speed. Tomorrow he's going to get to run some routes and do some more football-driven activities than that, running more of their trainers. And so tomorrow he's going to get a little bit more football time. You know, if he's available this weekend, it'd probably be more in spot duty. Won't be, you know, he'd be on a pitch count if he is available. He's kind of questionable right now. I'm not going to put him out there until I see him practice with the guys. But he's getting really close. I'm excited about his return. I think he's fired up. You know, he's relieved and excited about the opportunity that's in front of him. And I think he'd be a great addition to what we've already been doing offensively. Man, Shaz would be another weapon for us to have, and he catches the ball well. He's a big, strong, physical guy, and it's fun to see him kind of getting close to being ready to go again, because I think he can help our team, and I know how ready he is to go play.
Any other injuries that so from an injury standpoint, you're looking pretty good at this stage?
Yeah, we're in pretty good shape, all things told. I mean, you know, six games in a regular season, you got bumps and bruises.
Right.
Alex Bauman, our tight end, he had to leave the game against UAB before the bye week. Really ended up probably not being as significant as we were concerned during the game. Major injury. He's probably questionable or doubtful for this week right now. I would say, could he play? Maybe. Will he play? I don't know yet. Like, if he's not quite ready, we'll hold him. And then Caleb Ransar, nickel, was limited in practice today. Probably will be available. But all in all, we're in decent shape. You know, everybody at this point in the year has got some guys out.
Coach, I heard Nick Saban talk about this over the weekend. And as you get to the middle, to the latter part of the season, you know, his deal is always about the physicality of being able to establish that running game very early, because now other teams are dealing with nicks and scrapes along their defensive front seven. And he said the other part of it, too, is because the way the game is played today has so much pitch and catch, now it's given a little bit of time for your pass rushers to get into that groove, because I don't think anything affects a game today more in the fourth quarter if it's pro football or college football, if you can get a pass rush, man, you scared the bejesus out of that quarterback if you have to him, you know, on every play and they got to catch up and try to throw the football. Those two elements of your game, being able to run the football, control the clock, and also that consistent pass rush.
Yeah, you know, people talk about, you know, throwing to score, but you have to run to win.
Right.
I don't care what your offensive system is. You can be a spread or a pro style or whatever, but if you can't run the football consistently, it's hard to win consistently. And so we've been running the football with success, and early down success is critical, staying on schedule. And then, you know, from a pass rush standpoint, you have to earn the right to rush the passer. What I mean by that is, first off, as a team, if you put them in predictable pass, so you went on first down, second down, you give them a third and long, well, now you know you're going to get more passes in that situation, all right? And so putting them in predictable pass helps by a down and distance standpoint. And then what we've been able to do the last couple of weeks is you get a lead. Well, now they got to throw to catch up. They can't be patient and run the ball to stay in the game. They feel like they have to, you know, try to hit some chunk plays down the field. Well, those take time to develop, and your pass rushers can pin their ears back and go a little bit more direct to the quarterback and hunt. And so the run game on offense sets a lot of things up. And then to pass rush, man, you got to stop the other team and get a lead to put them in situations too.
Give us a little bit of a scouting breakdown on Rice.
Yeah, you know, I think they're extremely well coached. I really have a lot of respect for how they play the game. When I watch the tape, man, they're very detailed. They're disciplined. They don't beat themselves. Like I said, a lot of respect for this outfit we're getting ready to play. Offensively, it starts with their running back, this number zero. Man, he's their leading rusher, but he's also their leading pass catcher. He's as complete of a skill player as I feel like I've seen in our conference to date. He's just a really good football player, and he's the kind of guy you'd like to have on your team, to be quite honest with you. That's how he plays the game. They got quality receivers. The quarterback is Kurt Warner's son. So, you know, he's a high football IQ kid. He's smart. He knows where to go with the football. He reads coverage as well. He distributes it well. Really efficient player. The O-line's veteran. They got an older group there. And then defensively, they're one of the top teams in the country right now in creating negative plays, TFLs, and sacks. And so we've got to win up front. Their D-line's big and physical. You know, I don't think their record's very indicative of what kind of team they are. I really have a lot of respect for this team we're getting ready to play. And I told our guys today, we didn't practice great today. And I told our guys, if we practice like that, we're going to get our butt kicked on Saturday. I mean, it'll be embarrassing. And so we got to get ready to play because this team's coming in here. They're hungry. They got a little confidence with the win last week over Texas San Antonio. And so we got to be ready to strap it up and go play the brand of football we need to play to win.
Coach, I was going to bring up Dean Connors, the running back you spoke about, as both a runner and a receiver. And a lot of times when you watch Rice, they use that little short pass. It's almost an extended handoff. They just want to try to catch you one-on-one downfield where he can beat that one guy, and then he's out into open field.
Yeah, they get the ball to him a lot of different ways. They're good in the screen game as well. They get the ball out quick to all of their skill guys. They play the game in some empty sets. So they put some stress on you defensively, but it all starts with the running back. I mean, that young man's a fine football player, and their whole offense, it starts with him. And if you don't stop him, you can't win. And so he's going to be a big part of, you know, us having to be aware of where he is and different ways we're trying to get him the football, because, like I said, it's not just a run game with him, it's a throw game with him too, that we have to be on point with where he is and how they're trying to utilize him.
And he's a well-built guy. He's no small back. I mean, he's pieced together pretty good. Now, how do you got them guys from Hawaii? I guess, you know, that's why they got name, image, likeness. But for him to come from Hawaii to Texas, that's a pretty good little trip. You can't take the card. I know that. Charlie?
Coach, we're at the midway point of the season, and I just want to get your thoughts on the AAC this year. Obviously, we can't really break down a game because you were on the bye week. As you mentioned, you took the day off. But looking at the AAC and, you know, Army's first year in the American Athletic Conference and the season that they're having, and then Navy, who you play basically, what, 4 or 5 weeks out from now, compare top 25 squads, but you're right up there with North Texas. There's 5 undefeated squads early on in AAC play. What's kind of your gauge on the conference so far?
Yeah, I think you've seen some teams have success that maybe people didn't maybe have picked at the top. You know, Memphis is favored to win our league in the preseason stuff. You know, the Army and Navy, I've coached against Army the last 2 years. When I was at Troy, we played them in 22 and 23. In 22, we beat Army at home at Troy in a rock fight. We won 10-9. I mean, it was like playing, you know, 1950s football. And then And then last year we beat them like 19-0. It was a physical game again. Both those teams, their offensive identity is so unique, and they're really not the same. Army's the true triple, three-back option stuff. Navy's a little different, and they're probably a little more aggressive with their pass game stuff, but they're so hard to prepare for in a week. You know, that's the thing people understand is like, it's an offensive identity you don't see week in, week out. The vision lines for your players, the leveraging of the football, the quarterback being able to run, the way Army plays, their quarterback almost plays like a linebacker. He's a big physical dude. Navy's guy is really a true quarterback that just happens to be able to run 4-4 or 4-5. I mean, he's a talented kid. And they play the game the right way. You know, it's old school, tough, grinded out football, and I have a lot of respect for both those staffs and those teams. And North Texas has come on. Charlotte's come on. I mean, you're seeing some teams in this league really improve and take some steps forward. You know, Texas San Antonio has been a really good team for a while. That's who Rice just beat. So this league, I think the parity top to bottom is probably better than people realize. And I think going into it, everybody just kind of had Memphis picked to win it, and I think you're looking at it going, man, there's a lot of teams in this league that are capable, and you have to be prepared week in, week out to play the best brand of football you can.
Coach, last question. You brought up that doing a little bit of recruiting last week with the week off. From a recruiting standpoint, okay, those 4- and 5-star guys, they may go elsewhere. You might be looking at a guy, let's say he's 6'4" and he's 255. He's, you know, that's a big man for a 17-year-old, but man, some of them are coming in over 300 pounds. How much of a projection of you looking into the telescope down the road when you evaluate a player that 250 or 260-pound offensive lineman is going to be a 300-pounder in 2 years? For you, and maybe even a year for you, the way some of them eat, that could get up there pretty quickly. Because one of the things I see, having doing scouting for so long, there isn't a lot of offensive linemen out there, and the real good ones, I mean, they're selective, and it's at the pro level and also at the college level. You don't have a lot of depth in most places there. So when you look at a high school player, how much do you look at that projection of what he might be in a year from now or 2 years from now?
Yeah, really, really a couple things you hit on there to start. The first one is, man, I'll be honest with you. I don't care if they're 2-star or 5-star or 9-star. If we think they can play, we're going to recruit them. And I really don't even care if they've got the big – like if they have the big offer, we're still going to go battle because – you know, let's say a kid does go to an SEC school. Well, he might be a year from now looking for a different fit if it's not going as good there as he had hoped. And so it's important for us as a staff to make sure we have relationships with all the guys coming out and evaluate all of them and to turn over every stone, particularly in this state. You know, this state's got so many good players. We're going to sign kids from all over the country, but, man, we better know these guys in our backyard first because we got great football in the state of Louisiana, in particular South Louisiana, you know. And so, but we talk all the time about recruit and develop. And you talk about a big kid that may have some upside and some room to grow in the offensive line type projection. Man, that's the most developmental position in our game. It's also the hardest position to find enough good players at. And The O-line depth piece, man, I've been around several guys that were drafted. I had a kid at Troy a couple of years ago that was, I believe he's a third or fourth round. He was a fourth round draft pick by the Patriots, played center and guard. Well, he was a two-star recruit out of high school, you know, and so wasn't a highly touted guy. And so a lot of that O-line piece is development. And so often to me, man, the thing that we value in the evaluation process is a guy tough and does he love football? You know, tough guys that love football, they find a way to become their best. And they got to like to work, you know. And so we say all the time, if you train soft and you prepare soft, you play soft. And if you train hard and you prepare hard and you play tough, you know. And so you're looking for the physical makeup. You're looking for the mental makeup as well. And that thing, that part to me is probably just as important as the physical, because if a guy don't want to be any good, you can lead that horse to water, but you can't make it drink. You know what I mean? And so you got to get that, you got to get into, get guys that love football and want to play. But the evaluation component of what a guy can become is so important.
Yeah, and especially at that position, because, you know, I've said this before, other than the quarterback spot, I think center is the hardest position to play out on the field other than the quarterback spot, because you got to know what you know, and you better make damn sure that you get that snap right to the quarterback, not 90% of the time or 85%, 100% of the time, but you are relaying everything to the two guards, the guards related to the tackles. You started the quarterback up front for five people and sometimes six when you're talking about a tight end that's, you know, as an inline blocker. That's so difficult to project. That young man at a high school level, 4 years from now or 2 years from now, he's going to be my starting center.
No doubt. Well, you can get receivers and DBs that walk in the door and they're just gifted and they're ready to go play.
Right.
But the like what you hit the nail on the head with that, talking about the center. Like, you got to snap the football, then you got to make your own block. But we put a lot on the center in regards to communication and setting our protection, identifying the mic point, you know, identifying the front for the run game stuff, targeting some things. We do a lot of that to maybe take some of the pressure off the quarterback, in particular in our situation right now where we have a young quarterback. He knows all those things, but we've tried to alleviate maybe some of the communication he's having to do on some of those things and put some of it on our center. And that guy's got to be a smart, headsy player that understands the game. He's got to be an extension of your offensive line coach in regards to how you're targeting things. And that's you're talking about the mental component, and then you got to go block a big 300-pound man across from you every play, you know, and so, and snap the ball. And so there's a lot of things that go into it. That's one of the most challenging things to do in our game, for sure.
Yeah, you're talking about one game you might be up against a 280-pound guy, and next game you're up against a 330-pound guy. Okay, that's a little bit of a difference there on kind of the challenges that quick guy, smaller guy makes, and then you got a big guy in the middle, and he tries to run you over like a road grader. It's the intrigue, and I just think today, if you loaded the bus, you ain't got a lot of guys saying, "Hey, I want to play offensive line. You know, I want to play receiver. I want to play, tight end. I don't want to be no offensive lineman."
Hey, I told you I went to go watch my son's fifth grade game last week. You know, a bunch of those kids end up at my house some days, and if they go play in the park, none of them, they all want to be the all-time quarterback or the receiver. None of them say, "Hey, I want to go be the all-time snapper."
Yeah, right. Coach, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Always our pleasure, and good luck this coming Saturday against Rice.
Appreciate you guys. Have a great day.
All righty. That was our Tulane Tuesday segment brought to you by Bayou Black Electric, your electrical connection in the heart of South Louisiana. Learn more at BayouBlackElectric.com.